You know, a while ago he did, but that was a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it was a while ago. No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. We're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was strong.
It was early.
No, it was okay,
I was a bar early.
I was liking it early. It was good. It was good. There was a little Biggie Smalls in there. Like, you just, you know what I mean? When a deep breath becomes an actual lyric.
Yeah.
Live. Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed in San Francisco. I know why you took your shirt off earlier. I figured it out.
Tell me why.
And by the way, if you want to see Dibs' armpits,
please don't.
You scroll back on YouTube to the crossover.
40 years ago, I probably should have gone in to do some weight training. But, you know, you get older and the muscle mass, even if I was to, like, fully go into a Hans and Franz mode, pump you up, and Grandy doesn't even know that reference, and that's
yes,
fine.
He's got it.
He's an old soul.
No.
Pump you up.
I don't even, that's a four.
We are here to pump you up. Yeah.
Don't forget
the clap.
I don't know in my late 50s if I have the ability to muscle mass it up, but me in a tank top, pretty sad.
Go see my wife. That's what, by the way, she was like, because every time Steiny was like, hey, so you do that EMS thing, then what happens? And I'm like, your body changes. She's like, tell them he gets stronger. So you get stronger. Even you, Dibs, you can do it.
Yep.
You can do it.
I'm sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know why you took your shirt off. Anxiety.
I have no anxiety.
Of course you do. Greg Cosell's coming on in 10 minutes. It's terrifying to you.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Greg Cosell, and they moved him up. They moved him up. He did 4:15 last week. Move him up, right? Like, he's like the big show now.
It's hard because
main stage, Greg Cosell, like, 3:15.
Hey Greg, what do you think about XYZ?
That's a stupid question.
Right. I mean, I gotta look at the film. What did you see on the film, Greg, from week 3 in the preseason?
You'd be wrong.
Yeah, not a damn thing. I didn't see a thing on that film.
I can't wait. Greg
Tanner
Cosell.
Mordecai.
Yeah, Greg Cosell, 10 minutes. And by the way, Lucas. Will he be ready for full-blown, like, Sky Moore and Marquez Valdes-Scantling breakdowns?
I mean, they're NFL players.
I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I know, but, you know, well, Sky Moore was hurt last year. So, I mean, I don't know what film it is you want me to ask. I don't know what I'm supposed to even do with a question like that. I mean, like, that might happen.
Oh.
That could happen. It could.
Maybe.
All right.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll give it a shot. But my man's over here. He's got anxiety. That's why he's trying to deflect by taking his shirt off and running around.
Because it gets hot. When you're anxious, you get hot. And so I decided tank top.
Yeah, well, you start doing things that are outside your zone because you're trying to distract and deflect.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's me psychoanalyzing
also,
you.
Also, one other addition to this whole equation. You're going to be able to look him in the eye. He's going to be on video.
That's right. He's going to be on YouTube. He's going to be looking at you. So why don't you put your tank top back on?
If he tanks, I tank.
All right.
Just like that.
Lucas, see if we can get Cosell to wear a tank.
Uh-huh.
And then Pods is coming on at 4:15, which is less of a thing because he does that for a living. He wears a tank top. So we could ask him to do it. I don't think it would really register with people.
Right, and he's probably still in super hot and muggy Orlando, so...
Maybe.
I mean, a tank top is almost like dressing up out there.
You should put the Valkyries jerseys on for that.
Okay, but can I keep my T-shirt on this time?
You can do whatever you want.
Thank you.
But you should be wearing the jersey when we talk to our Valkyrie superfans.
That's a good point. I submit. You're right, and we will. We will. Medium though it may be.
Speak for yourself. I'll put it over my hoodie.
Yeah, but don't you have a t-shirt on underneath?
I got a t-shirt.
Okay, you're good. What color is it?
It is dark gray.
There you go.
It's actually an Instagram.
It goes great.
It's a great t-shirt. It's an Instagram t-shirt. And
like, you bought it on Instagram?
I got it from
Instagram,
a thrift store.
It says Instagram on it?
In the corner, and the graphic art is of a T-Rex holding a tiny camera and taking a selfie.
A T-Rex taking a selfie?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
I'll show you.
Cosell, laugh, please. Can we get a... That's... Thank you.
What is going on here?
Well, we're going to go to a call. That's what we're doing.
And I'll show the picture to the YouTube audience because I think that this shirt is phenomenal.
Why do you have a shirt that's not on?
Because I'm wearing my tank top under my hoodie.
You still
I haven't had a chance to have the tank on.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
And it's too warm in here for that hoodie.
Yeah. Here is the... You can kind of see it, right?
I got it, yeah.
The T-Rex has a tiny camera, and he's taking a selfie. And it's Instagram.
Yeah, but it's pointed at his midsection. It's a little creepy.
He's got a nice midsection.
Yeah, he does.
Unlike the Dibber. Yeah, well, third person.
Anyway, it's good.
Thanks, Greg.
Perfect. Let's
Coming
go to,
up in 10 minutes.
Let's go to Benzo in Napa. Hi, Benzo. Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You got me?
We got you, Benzo.
All right, you're cracking me. I almost forgot the question about Juwan Jennings, the Hans and Fod. Don't forget the clap. You know, Dibs, you just got to get the right fit. You're going to look fine, man. So with it, you know.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah, Juwan, don't worry about it. Juwan thinks me. It's simple. The question, I think, was you got what should he do, right? And it's not necessarily tail between the legs, but the guy said, just go out and play ball. That's what he does best. And I think we all forget a little bit, you know, in the wake of the, he's kind of going down the same road that Ayuk went last year, but he's not Ayuk. He's got a few more years under his belt. Now he's got the injury. And it was just bad advice. You know, what he did when Ayuk was out was came out and balled. He's a roughneck in the trench. He's a roughneck in the clutch. And honestly, I think we're going to need him. But like, if they can just be like, look, you're going to lose value if you don't. If you do, get in and play ball. And he's probably going to do the same thing he did last year, which he just overperformed more than anybody thought he was going to do. And if we have that moving forward with the Niners and he just gets over it and moves forward, he's going to up his value for whatever he's doing and wherever he's going next. And the Niners are going to be much better off. So that's my take on it. I think it's pretty simple.
No, play Benzo, I don't disagree with you. Thanks for the call at all, except for the part about I don't think that that's going to represent tail between legs. I think to Juwan, it will feel that way. So you're not wrong. I would love for him to just show up, play football, do that whole thing, like, okay, head down. This didn't go my way, but all I can do is go out and play. I would love for him to react that way, and maybe he will.
Maybe.
But go through your mind his process, because this didn't start 2 weeks ago when we all started talking about it. This started months ago, and Juwan had a great year, and he went to the Niners, and he said, hey, what about a contract extension? And the Niners said, no. He said, all right, fine, then trade me. And the Niners said, no. And he said, fine, then I'm not showing up to camp. And then they went, okay. That's the process. So when you then show up the next week and just go, all right, I'm here to play ball, I don't know how a professional athlete ego would take that any other way than throwing your tail between your legs.
It's difficult, and I think about Charvarius Mooney Ward from last year when he went to the Niners and said, yeah, coming off the Super Bowl, I was great. I'd like to get a reworked deal. I'd like to get some fresh money on my contract. And they said, man-to-man, which is the way he reported it. And to his credit, he's like, yeah, I respected it, but they told me no. And so he, by the time he got into camp, he was all in his feelings, and Ayuk was holding out, and Trent Williams got money, and McCaffrey got money, and Mooney Ward got nothing. And so he came into camp, and his words, not mine, but he was like, yeah, I don't even care about these reps that I'm going through because I'm checked out. And then the personal stuff happened right as he was starting to lock in, and then his year was basically lost. So to ask Juwan Jennings to come in, tail between his legs, and all right, I'm all in, 100%. I'm a Niner for this year, and I'm going to do everything I can to help this team.
Tough.
That's a big ask.
Tough.
It's tough.
It's very, very tough. Let's go to Dre in Lemoore. Dre, hi. What's going on? Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. Yeah, you guys are right. Juan's got himself into a box. I had to agree with the caller about 10 minutes ago. I was walking into a store. He is the most tenacious blocker I see on the team. IU does some pretty damn good blocking, too. I remember a couple years on that the opener against Pittsburgh. He took a few people out on that long run by McCaffrey.
Yep.
But Juwan is definitely always taking people out, and on his incentives, maybe boost him up a little bit. And if he doesn't get incentives for blocking, but his agent, Drew Wolfenhaus, or however you say his name, he's a pretty bright guy. I'm sure he has that on there. But if, you know, bring that up, you know, a little bit, you take a few guys out, you get a little more money. And Dibs, it's never too late, brother. All my life, all my friends were stronger than me, and I didn't want to work out with them. When I turned 40, I seen I was going south. I stayed consistent. When I was 50, I was probably the strongest I ever was. I was just a little short of benching 400. I'm a shell of the man I once was at 61, but I could still pick up a lot of weight. I turned some heads, man. So
yeah.
All you have to do is get to it and be consistent.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go, Dre.
Yeah.
I love it. How about a little Stuart Smalley for you as you get ready here? Dibs, you're good enough. You're strong enough. And gosh darn it, Greg Cosell likes you.
We'll see. Coming up next.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop's. And well, we've got someone coming on the River Islands guest line in just a moment. He's also coming on YouTube. So if you love listening to Greg Cosell, stay where you are. If you want to watch Greg Cosell take down Dibs in a tank top, then I would get to YouTube. YouTube.com/957TheGame. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I look forward to this every week.
I do, too.
I do.
I'm scared.
Terrifying. Terrifying. We've told them that. But, I mean, what a great time to have them. Rosters are all set. The Niners are making all kinds of maneuvers. And we get to visit with one of the preeminent voices, NFL minds, and deep dive tape watchers out there. He joins us every single week. River Islands guest line, and he's on YouTube as well. Ladies and gentlemen, from NFL Films, it's Greg Cosell. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Gentlemen, what's happening? Well, at least we're ready for some football. It's actually a really big college football weekend. I'm pretty excited.
It's huge. Yeah, week one. I know you're already deep diving on next year's draft. And then right after that, we've got, 8 days till an NFL game, 11 days until a 49er game.
Yeah.
At the same time, the Niners are still doing all kinds of moving and shaking at the wide receiver position. So here's how I'd love to start. In Kyle Shanahan's system, we always hear that a lot is asked of wide receivers, and it's very difficult. So to your knowledge, Greg, how easy would it be for all of these new wide receivers to just jump onto the team and then produce right away?
I think the biggest issue has to do with things other than what we normally think of for wide receivers, which is, you know, just running routes and catching the ball. Because there's so much formation variation. Splits are so, so important. There's multiple splits for wide receivers. That matters immensely. There's a lot of motions. So it's not just a matter of, hey, you go there and we're going to throw you the ball. So there's a lot to learn, but, you know, they need bodies right now. I mean, that's the issue. They need bodies. You know, and normally, look, Valdes-Scantling, who they just brought in, he's been around the league. He's a guy that can run. He can take the top off the defense. He's always struggled with his hands, which is why he's never become what I think a lot of people hoped he would become. But yet, he does have moments. When you bring in someone like Sky Moore, my guess is, I think he was in the 2022 draft, if memory serves me correctly.
Yep.
My guess is that someone in the organization or a number of people, scouts, coaches, liked his tape coming out of college and decided that, you know what, if he's available, let's give him a shot. You know, he's a smaller school kid. He's Western Michigan. I did him when he came out. You know, I evaluated him. You know, his measurables were good. He's, you know, he's 5'9 or 5'8, but he ran well. He didn't quite play like that, and I think that's reflected in what's happened to him in the league. You know, he didn't play to his 4.41 40-yard dash time, but, you know, now he has another opportunity, and, you know, sometimes guys need another opportunity, and it works out. I guess we'll find out, just because it seems as if, based on the injuries, you would know better, guys, you're out there. It seems like, you know, these guys might have to play week one.
Yeah, a little bit of a desperado situation. Shout out the Eagles, where you know they're running out of able-bodied receivers. Yep. Valdez-Scantling's interesting for me, Greg, because the numbers indicate he's a good run blocker. What have you seen on tape as far as him able to go out there and block in the run game as a receiver?
You know, I'm going to be totally honest with you guys, okay? When I watch receivers, I'm not really looking at their run blocking. I'm just being honest. Even when I watch college guys coming into the league, it's funny. I had a coach who's coached in the league for years at the receiver position, and it might be different for Kyle Shanahan, but a coach told me that, you know what? We can teach a receiver how to be a good enough blocker for what we want to ask him to do in the run game. So I don't really know the answer to what Valdez-Scantling is as a run blocker. You know, obviously he can lift the top off the defense. You know, he had a stretch, was it last year when he was in New Orleans? I lose track of the years. He had a stretch in New Orleans where he, you know, made a bunch of big plays down the stretch, which is what he's capable of doing. He's always been a guy that can run by people. And by the way, that matters even if you're not a volume receiver. And, of course, don't forget, when guys come back, you don't even know if these guys are still going to be on the team. Right now, they're just looking for warm bodies.
No doubt. Greg Cosell is with us on 95.7 The Game, as he is every single week. Greg, I want to ask you about one of the other guys that got reacquired today and immediately put on the active roster, which is Russell Gage. He's been dealing with injuries the last couple of years, but the Niners will have us believe whatever he's been dealing with, he's back. So what was he 3 and 4 years ago in this league based on what you watched?
Yeah, I remember him pretty well. He was a tough, good-sized guy, tough, competitive, physical. I mean, at his best. And again, now you get into all those other things I mentioned because we don't know, you know, how well he knows the offense and the things of that nature. But he was a guy that I remember he worked the middle of the field effectively. And you guys know how important that is in the Kyle Shanahan offense because he's got good size, catches the ball, competitive, plays with a little bit of a swagger. You know, I don't want to say he's Juwan Jennings, but, you know, he was sort of like that when he played, that style of receiver.
And you look at the whole Juwan Jennings situation and Russell Gage and what he can do and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and more of a take-the-top-off-the-defense guy. When you look at the 49ers offense, are they still in need of Juwan Jennings or can these two receivers that they've brought in replicate what he had brought to this offense?
I don't think anybody can replicate it initially, guys, because don't forget, Jennings has been in the offense for a number of years, and there's a lot of variables and a lot of things to learn in this offense. So, you know, again, most people think, oh, well, the guy can run a little bit, he can catch, blah, 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 but there's so much more than that. So I think we have to be careful about assuming that guys are just going to step in. Now you get into how you want to structure your game plan, how you go about putting together your offense when you play Seattle week one. Does this limit the things you can do? I don't know the answer to this. I'm just saying these are things that get thought of by coaches. Mm-hmm. Can they use the same amount of formation variation? Can they use the same amount of motion? We know the Niners are a heavy pre-snap movement team. Can they do all that with receivers that aren't used to playing in this offense? Because don't forget, when you do things like pre-snap movement, you know, your quarterback has to get to the line of scrimmage with a good amount of time on the play clock because the motions take time. If a receiver doesn't understand exactly where he's supposed to be, that could add 2 or 3 or 4 seconds to before the ball snapped, and that becomes a problem. So there's a lot of other variables that come into play besides whether a guy can run around and catch a ball.
Greg, it was after we spoke to you last week that the Niners went out and acquired Brian Robinson Jr. from Washington.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to hear what your spin is on his fit in this offense based on what you know of his talents.
You know, it's funny. I always liked Brian Robinson going back to when he was at Alabama. He waited there. In today's day and age, it's very rare. He waited and waited and waited and got his chances last year. I liked him coming out. I knew what he was. I knew he wouldn't be a first-round pick because he's not explosive. But in the context of this offense with the one cut and the downhill element, and obviously they've expanded the run game over the years as every team has to do, but I like Brian Robinson. I think he's tough. He's physical. He's competitive. You know, I think that if by chance McCaffrey were to get hurt, I think in the context of this offense, you can line up Brian Robinson and he can be a volume back.
And is he a back who can thrive in the two-back system that Kyle Shanahan really loves with the fullback, or is he somebody that would require them to maybe change their offensive approach to suit his running style?
No, I think he could probably fit. Again, that's an unknown, and I certainly don't know because he didn't really do that in his past in the league. But obviously he's played in a system where there's been what we would call base personnel, maybe not a fullback, but two tight ends. You know, and Juszczyk is essentially kind of a combo platter. He's not a pure fullback in the sense that he's just going to line up in the backfield. You know, he essentially moves all around the formation. So he's played in that style of offense. But, you know, he's a drive. He's a sustaining type back. I wouldn't compare him traits-wise exactly to a Jordan Mason, but in some ways he'd probably be viewed as similar in what he gives you. You know, it's that sustaining element, which obviously for the first part of last season, Jordan Mason did that for the 49ers.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Now, B-Rob, when he arrived here, Greg, said that he now thinks that he and Christian can form the best 1-2 punch backfield in the league. And obviously that's a player just kind of showing confidence in himself. But I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear that. Who do you kind of see as maybe a few of the top 1-2 punch backfields around the league right now?
Gibbs and Montgomery would be the guys that immediately come to my mind. Sure. I mean, again, without looking at every team in the league, I would say that that comes to mind. I would say that Robinson and Algier in Atlanta would come to my mind as well. I'm sure I'm missing some because, obviously we don't prepare this, so I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. But, I mean, those two would come to my mind right now. I'm sure I'm missing something, and somebody when we're done are going to say, how could you leave out this one? But, you know, that would come to my mind right now.
Yeah, Greg, don't worry. We don't prepare either. We're just firing stuff off here to see what happens. You know what
I
mean?
You know what? I just make this stuff up as I go. Believe me, I get told that a lot on Twitter, that I just make stuff up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think we know better than that. And, Greg, when you look at the wide receiver room now for the 49ers with Valdez Scantling and taking out Juwan Jennings, how much is Ricky Pearsall now maybe even more important to Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, assuming that Juwan Jennings may not be ready for week one?
Well, Pearsall, he'd beat a man now, so to speak. I mean, Pearsall and Kittle, you know, they're there. They understand the offense. You know, I think in an ideal world, it's not an offense that's based on we need, you know, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson in order to be a good passing game. I mean, in an ideal world. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that you don't want those guys. I mean, obviously, if they had those guys, it'd be wonderful. But I don't think that the way Kyle structures his offense, it's built on we better get the ball to this guy or we can't have a good pass game. Now, depending on how the season goes with Jennings, look, he's not going to sit out the season. So if he's a Niner, at some point he's going to show up because he's going to want to get paid. We'll see how it plays out. But Pearsall at the wide receiver position right now would be the number one guy.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Greg, we loved that conversation about your deep dive on all of Brock Purdy's dropbacks last week. And, you certainly go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, guys, you know, you have to think of it this way. Pretty much every quarterback in the league has defined strengths and limitations. Like if I put on Twitter that, you know, that Patrick Mahomes is not a great progression reader, which, by the way, I've been told by defensive coaches in the league, people would probably tell me I'm an idiot. You know, but I've been told that by coaches that play against him. Okay. So now you have to think of it this way, that every coach has strengths, every coach has limitations. So what is the job, every quarterback I meant, excuse me. So what is the job of a coach? You know, you have to sort of navigate and mitigate their strengths and limitations. That's what you have to do. Okay, so Purdy has defined strengths, and then he has some limitations. Now, can limitations crop up in a given game? Sure. It depends on the nature of the game, the nature of the opponent. Any given day, I mean, if we went into the Super Bowl last year and said, look what would have happened, and you said that before the game, people would have said you're an absolute idiot. You know, sometimes these things happen. That's the job of the coach, is to understand strengths and weaknesses and make it work accordingly.
No doubt. What I find interesting, though, to further the conversation is, I think it was Albert Breer kind of did an interview with Purdy, where Purdy, and he's never really done this before, he admitted that with all the injuries on offense last year, instead of sticking with the game plan sometimes, he felt he forced it and was trying to do right. too much. Did you see a lot of that when you went through all of those dropbacks?
You know, I'll answer it this way. It's hard for me to know what's in his head, so I can't really answer that.
Right, right.
But the one thing he definitely did do more of last year was leave the pocket at times when it was unnecessary to leave the pocket. Because one of the things he did exceptionally well in his first 2 years was just stand and deliver. And I thought last year, even though he's not immobile, and he certainly can make plays with his legs, although I don't think anybody would call him a playmaker in the way that, you know, other quarterbacks are in the league that we talk about, but I thought that he did not let the system play itself out the way that it's designed to. Because, look, we all know that Kyle is about the system, and in his mind, he's calling plays that are going to work, that are going to get the primary receiver open, which is what all coaches want. Obviously, there are some coaches that do it better than others. It's never 100%, of course, because it's a defensive coach and there are defensive players. But when all said and done, that's what you're trying to do when you call a play, is to get your primary receiver open so the quarterback can hit his back foot and deliver the ball. A lot of quarterbacks, if they're uncomfortable with that for whatever reason, they'll bail. They'll bail out of the pocket when there's no need to bail out of the pocket. And I thought Purdy did that a little too often last year.
Does Kyle need to change the system this year with Deebo Samuel being gone and perhaps having, you know, wide receivers that aren't able to get separation like they weren't able to last year?
I would say maybe it's a tweak, not a system change, because I think his system does, because of the formation usage and because of the motion and the shifting, it does present a number of ways for receivers to be open. So I don't think he's going to all of a sudden have a brand new system. You know, one thing I learned from coaches who've been in the league for years and years in the league, coaches who are friends of mine, is that coaches coach what they know. They don't change dramatically from year to year. Can you tweak things? Can you add a wrinkle in? Maybe there's a different kind of player. Look, you know, you can go back years and years to when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the then Redskins, and he did different things because he had RG3. But I mean, you know, so, but that's not the case this year, obviously. He's got the same quarterback. And you ultimately are designing your offense, the pass game in any way, based on what your quarterback is, and the quarterback's the same. And he has a certain set of positive traits and a certain set of, I don't want to say negative traits, but limitations. So you're working off your quarterback.
Greg, if the answer's no on this, just say it and we can go a different direction. But I'm curious about a specific wide receiver. Go back to last year's draft. Did you have an opinion on or do any study on Jordan Watkins, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss? He went in the fourth round.
You know, it's funny you say that. Ole Miss, they had the Trey Harris kid.
Yep.
Watkins, I didn't study in detail. You know, when I saw the Niners drafted him, I was like, oh, you know. But I didn't do him in detail. I remember he had that huge, huge game. Didn't he have like 4 or 5 touchdowns in one game? I saw all this because, of course, of the quarterback as well, because I did Jackson Dart in detail. But Watkins, I did not do in detail. But, you know, again, what have you heard about his training camp? I mean, is he going to get an opportunity because he's been there?
Yeah, no, they really liked him. And then he got a high ankle sprain. They were definitely planning on rostering him, and he did make the team. But he's you know, expected to miss at least the first week of the season. And so, yeah, I wanted to know just kind of what your thought was on him, because I do think that at some point this year they're planning a role for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, barring anything crazy, I'm sure what they thought was going to be the case was that it would be Jennings and Pearsall as the two main guys, and that when Ayuk would come back, what, week 6 or 7? Is that sort of the plan right now?
Right. Yeah, right. And then DeMarcus Robinson, obviously, week 4.
Yeah. You know, the guy who fascinated me, who I did do coming out, and I actually did him for a number of years, and I guess he's hurt as well, is Jacob Cowing.
Yep.
Because he was a fascinating guy. Because in his early incarnation in college at UTEP, he was a big-time vertical dimension. And then when he transferred, and I forget where he was, it Arizona or Arizona State?
It was one Arizona. Of those, right? Yes, Arizona.
You know, he was used differently in the context of their offense. So he was not used as a vertical dimension as much as he was at UTEP, where he, you know, because I watched him at UTEP, and he would run by people.
When you look at this year's rookie class, Greg, and having looked at all the tape of these kids in college, who are you most excited to see in week one in the NFL?
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think. You know, it's funny. I've been back into NFL mode, of course, you know, for the last three, four weeks.
Course,
I'm trying to think of and now I'm trying to remember who got drafted.
But yeah, you know, Cam Ward, number one overall, and looks like he's going to get the start in Tennessee, and McMillan
he's
in Carolina.
Get the start. Yeah, I'm very anxious to see him, obviously. I've met him. I've been around him because I was down in Tennessee. He's a very impressive guy. I'm really curious. See, they'll be a better team. You know, again, I'm trying to think of guys who've been drafted.
Travis Hunter playing both ways. I don't know what you think about which side of the ball he'd be better
at. That, to me, is going to be really interesting to see how that ultimately plays out. I mean, you know, pretty much everybody you talk to say that he can't play 140 snaps a game. So I'm curious to see how they ultimately divvy that up. You know, we'll find that out. You know, I'm trying to think. The Niners open with Seattle, right? And then who do they have week two?
New Orleans.
And they just named Rattler as their starting quarterback.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting. And then how about as they go forward? Who's week three, do you know?
Is it Arizona? I'm trying to remember here off the top of my head who they have week three. It is. Yeah, their home opener is week three against Arizona. Then
so they're on the road the first 2 weeks,
Road first 2 weeks. Then they'll go home Arizona, home Jacksonville, and then Thursday night in L.A. at SoFi against the Rams.
Ah. You know, a lot of people are probably thinking a good 49ers team should get off to a good start, you know, with the schedule. But, you know, Seattle's actually a very interesting team. We'll talk about them a lot more next week, I'm sure.
For sure.
You know, because next week will sort of be a preview of the Seattle game. But they're a team that a lot of people are talking about now, particularly with the defense and the way that Mike McDonald, who's obviously a defensive guy, has built that defense. They have a lot of really good parts.
Hey, Greg, before we do start thinking about next week, do you play fantasy football at all?
No.
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 Because it would be, like, unfair, right?
No, you know what? I'm not a good prognosticator, even, you know, and, you know, I've never bet on a sport in my life, by the way. I've never played fantasy football. That stuff doesn't interest me, but, you know, the thing, as you guys, I'm sure, know and appreciate, is I love the whole process of it.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in the other stuff, you know. I love the process of evaluating, studying, you know, that's what I love to do.
No, I wondered if you had some buddies who were like, how do we beat you? Because these rookie players, you know so much about them before they even get in the league.
Well, it's funny. I think I did about 225 guys from this rookie class, and I've already, this summer, I looked at probably 80 to 100 guys who are likely to be, some guys will drop off, of course, but I did 80 to 100 guys will be in the 2026 draft before I switch back to the NFL. So, you know, it's just, I really enjoy doing that. I mean, it gives me a head start on a lot of guys. And most guys don't dramatically change in terms of their traits.
By the way, Greg, pretty good running back combo week one facing the Niners, right? Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet.
You know, it's funny you say that. I guess from what I've read, they love Charbonnet. I was not a big fan of his coming out of UCLA. And I know they drafted and cut Damian Martinez, who was at Oregon State and then ended at the University of Miami. And just based on tape study, I thought Martinez was a better runner than Charbonnet, but I know that Seattle really likes Charbonnet. I'm sure he brings other things to the table. My guess is he's probably very good in pass pro. You know, he is a pretty solid receiver. That's a pretty good combo because Walker's been hurt quite a bit and Charbonnet's had to play.
Well, we'll dive into them a lot, as you said, next week. Greg, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. You made it.
Yeah, you did too.
I did.
Kind of.
I'm what?
A little shaky there for a minute.
What do you mean?
Of course he doesn't do fantasy football.
Well, that's why I asked. I wanted him to be able to speak on why he doesn't do
and
fantasy football.
And stand on business. And yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't do prognostication. He does the film.
You know what it would be if he did?
It would be a prognostication sensation is what it would be.
We're back
but it's
to
not.
You.
We're back.
Fade. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Pods in a half hour. We'll keep it Niners, though, in this wide receiver situation. Until then, it's Willard and Dibs.
Oh. You'd be wrong.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan spoke at 2 o'clock today. There was a lot on Juwan Jennings. We're going to get right back to that here in just a sec. But I have to just sort of speak my mind here.
Okay.
just going through my head what it would be like to play fantasy football with Greg Cosell. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when he makes his selection, if you were like, if y'all got together and Greg was in the room with you and like, all right, in the sixth round, I'm taking Tet McMillan, rookie wide receiver from Carolina. He's rangy. He's got good ball skills. He can catch the ball in space. He can go up and get 50-50 balls. He's tall. And I think he's getting a really good fit for this system. And so that's the selection that I'm going to make. Robotically moves up to board.
Sure.
Stick sticker on. Robotically walks back, sits down in front of laptop, grinds film.
Totally.
I mean, like, it'd be incredible.
It would be, but the very nature of Greg Cosell is not looking forward. It's looking backward. It's looking at what he sees on the film. So, you know, he would be better off in doing a fantasy draft for week one after week one was over. He would tell you exactly what he saw and who he actually would take based on the film. He doesn't do predictions and prognostications. Not predictions. It's not what he does.
Well, except for and maybe like next week, I'll be like, Greg, yes, you do. Like, yes, you do.
No, you don't. No, you
don't. He's grinding on next year's draft right now. He told us last year he loved...
You'd be wrong.
Well, no, I'd be right. You told us last year you loved Pearsall. He hadn't played yet. That's a prognostication.
It's not. It's an assessment on what he sees on the film. It's right. A prognostication is, I think he's the seventh best receiver in the draft, and I think that he'll be in the late first round.
But
he doesn't do that.
But he's also projecting that he's going to be a good NFL player.
Based on what he's seen.
Yes.
And he does, I mean, he won't say.
What are
like,
we doing in a fantasy draft? We're projecting what we think's going to happen this year based on what we've seen.
But we're gambling on it based on what we think we know, and he doesn't do that. He just tells you what he thinks based on what he's seen, not what he thinks he's going to see. There's a clear distinction between the two.
I don't see it that way. I hear what you're saying, but I think that he likes players based on what he sees on the film, and then therefore, as a natural human being, has a projection of what he thinks may happen with them coming up in the NFL. Now, he doesn't gamble on that.
Right.
He doesn't go on the air and tell you, this guy's going to be a dog. Like, he doesn't do that. But there's no way he doesn't have a thought on it. He says, I like that player. I like that tape. I love it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he's going to then take that assessment of what he's seen on tape and compare it and use that to go out and, whether it's for money or for not for money, and go out there and make those predictions. He just gives assessments on what he has seen.
Right, but that's our job to see if we can taint him.
That's your job.
And that's what I'm saying. It would be fun. It would be fun to play fantasy with Greg Cosell. I would love that.
Maybe he's the 16th owner in our cockamamie 16-team league. We don't know.
I knew that would make you mad. Anyway, speaking of fantasy.
What, the 16-team league?
Yeah.
It doesn't make me mad.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of how, like, ramshackle and shoddy this whole thing is. But I'm here for it because it's my job.
You say yes every year, and by draft day, you are ripping the league every year.
I rip the league 12 months a year. It's not by draft day. I rip the commissioner. I rip the process. I rip the structure. And I'm true to myself in that fashion. I don't just all of a sudden get to a point where, like you always say, I'm mad. I'm not mad about anything. I just speak my mind about what I see and the way things are run.
Give it some love and maybe it would go better for you, though, is what I'm saying.
It's not about love. It's about luck. A lot of this is luck. Sam Lubman, morning show producer, sometime host, and he does Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. He got the first pick. He took McCaffrey. McCaffrey had tendonitis, didn't play, then played, got hurt. He came in last.
No.
Luck.
You can call it luck. I think you should have seen that coming.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see who you take.
We will.
You know.
We will. Speaking of fantasy football, I do want to send out one other thank you, not only to Splash at Thrive City for the event last night, and the food and the service and everything about the setup was absolutely fantastic. But also, so was Jody in San Jose.
Awesome.
And all of the friends that showed up. And so, Jody, if you're listening, you were a blast to be around. Wonderful energy in the group. Very, very kind people who then also kind of dove into their fantasy draft. They didn't take it too seriously, but they did get quiet.
Yeah.
They did get quiet.
You were like, ripping them yesterday, so now are you doing your back pedal?
Who was I ripping?
You were ripping the whole league.
No, I was worried.
You were ripping the fact that they didn't know what they were playing for.
That was not a rip job. That was
concern.
It
was a total rip job.
No, it was concern.
It was more than concern.
I don't want somebody to draft without knowing what they're playing for, and then it's unveiled what they're playing for, and then somebody doesn't yike it. And then what
you went
over
there during the break, and you were hot.
I did some recon.
Right.
Jody and I had a talk.
Sure.
I pulled him aside, and we talked. And I came away mostly satisfied,
right.
But I expressed to him my concerns for him and his people. Because
your concerns over his league.
Well,
that to me is hilarious.
They're very nice people. I'm worried for them. I was worried for them.
Because they are not grown adults who can't navigate their own fantasy league?
You don't worry about adults. You've got sons in their 20s.
I don't worry about them.
Him?
No.
Yes, you do.
Not at all.
Yes, you do.
Well,
yes, you do.
I worry about my son when he is dealing with an airline that is canceling flight after flight.
Exactly.
But I didn't worry about him like, oh, his fantasy league. I wonder what the prize is.
You do it your way. I'll do it mine. I was worried about the group. I expressed it. We came and found common ground and move on. In other words, we did what the Niners and Juwan Jennings have not been able
not
to do.
Not so far, no.
All right. So here's John Lynch today. As the guys, John and Kyle, they took to the podium, and as you would have guessed, right out the gate, lots on Juwan.
So Juwan's still working through his calf issue, making progress. We're kind of like everyone else, hopeful but not sure, you know, on week one, and we'll proceed as such. And so we're working to get the best mix out there. We added a piece today, and you know, in MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and thrilled to have him part of it, and you know, we move forward.
Okay, so that was a wonderful effort by John Lynch. It didn't work, but it was a wonderful effort, and I get that the Niners, that was their plan. We're going to come out and say that Juwan, well, still working through the calf issues, keep it super vague. We're not going to put a timeline on that, so we're hopeful for week one. We've signed another receiver, but that's where that's at. And unfortunately, and I knew this would happen, so did you, like we're too late in the game for, we don't know, so we'll just see, to calf. So here came all the questions from all of the different angles. This was the first one. Okay, my goodness, if this calf, good Lord, John, if it's not getting any better, is it time for more imaging?
You don't image a guy like daily, you know. So that's something that happened a little bit ago. And, you know, if it doesn't get better soon, I'm sure we'll be doing more of that.
Is it worse than you originally had thought it was going to be?
Yeah, but I also, calves can take a long time. That's one thing with that injury. Played with guys who, they can take a while.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, is it worse than what you thought? Yeah, but... And calves can take a long time.
Yep.
And, you know, I played with guys, and you know, you have calves, and you don't really know. And the calf is one of those tricky ones, but, you know, you're not just going to image a guy every day. Oh, I don't know. If you have a guy who's missed a month and he's hurt, maybe you image him again and you check in on it.
So
I don't know.
I'm addicted to the process that unfolded here. It's hysterical to me. And I get it. I get it from all angles. The Niners are like, we're going to go out there and tell everybody that he's still working through a calf. And the first thing the media does is they go, okay, we'll buy your response. But if you're telling us that this calf, whew, it's sticky, like it just won't get better. So I would imagine you're checking on it again, right? That's where they started. Then that's the answer they get. And at a certain point, it's like, well, this isn't really adding up. Like you just said 5 days ago, Kyle Shanahan said it should definitely be ready by then. And now you're saying maybe it's not going to be ready. So more imaging, right? Why?
Right.
You don't just do the imaging all the time. Okay, so how about this, John? let's pretend that at a certain point over the next week and a half, Juwan is healthy and the calf is fine. Well, so he's playing, right?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But, you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
Ah, there you go. And I think that both things are true. His calf might be 93% healthy, but, you know, you get that little thing in there. I woke up today with a little bit of a lower back issue. My back is normally 100%. Today, I probably put it at 93%. And if I was in a contract situation with a job that required my back to be 100%, I might, you know, report that I'm questionable with a little bit of a lower back strain. So two things can be equally, quote unquote, true. I mean, they can both be true-ish.
They can be.
And if the calf is...
That doesn't mean they are.
No, and last night in my sleep, I rolled over and stretched my leg wrong, and I had that little calf grab. You know, you get a little cramp.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, my Achilles. And then, you know, you put the hand down there, and you know, you give a little massage, and 3 minutes later, you're back asleep.
Hand down, man down.
That's right.
That's exactly the way it went.
So his calf might be 94% good to go, but you feel that little twinge.
No, this is what I love, though. I want to play that one again, because I want all of you to hear when John Lynch decides, he openly decides, this isn't going where I want it to go. I'm going to take a right turn right now and admit to everybody, because everyone was going with him. Well, a calf is tricky, just not ready yet. Okay, so is there more imaging? Well, no.
You don't just do that every day.
All right, but once the calf is ready, he's playing, right? Well, then you got to ramp him up. I don't know. Like, he might have been eating chips for the last week, and I don't know. So right then, John goes, bleep it. I'm going to let everybody know it's a holdout.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But, you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
Okay, so right there, he just decides, all right, I'm going to put it out there for everybody. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.